Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Issel and Louie here on 680-1057, ESPNLouisville.com, the app, your smart speaker, however you're hanging out with us this morning. We appreciate it. I am Louie Ribeau, hanging out with Dan Issel, Avery Dill, frantically trying to make sure that Dan is on the air. Dan, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. I think it's my fault, but I can't figure out the headsets are working, but the audio is not. So I'm going to have to do it on the phone, I'm afraid.
Got it. All right. Well, setting up the show just a little bit, Drew Brown will be in at his normal 10:30 spot, and we will chat with him about all things Kentucky, football and basketball, of course, when he's in. Of course, Kentucky wins the Governor's Cup over the weekend. Dan, what were your sort of basic takeaways? Mine, I mean, it's time to put the statue up, you know, and I think we both nailed it on the head right before the game on Friday, which was just Satterfield isn't up for this rivalry yet, and his team does not have the energy of UK, and I mean, it just it's one-sided at this point, and until we see a change, I'm going to pick it this way every year.
Well, you know, you and I are starting to be like an old couple that thinks alike, because that was my first thought. With four Governor Cups in a row, the Stoop statue talk is back on the table. So,
build it.
I don't know. Louis, if I didn't have to watch that game because of this show, I would have been gone about halfway through the first quarter.
The saddest part was going from Michigan and Ohio State, where Michigan played at an unbelievably high level, and then having to watch that game. I totally agree with
you. And then you watch a game like that, and that is intermediate football at best. I didn't think there was ever a shot for Louisville to win the game, and I thought that Kentucky was, for the most part, inept offensively, and so I thought it was just a bad football game all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good summation of how bad the play was on the field. Early on, you know, Satterfield has a chance to kind of go for it, you know, make a play on third down. Instead, he decides to run and then punts the ball away early, and I texted you, and I said, man, Satterfield is really convinced he can win this game on defense. And he wasn't able to. Kentucky literally scored six times on Saturday. I think one of the bigger upsets is that Ruffalo showed up and made some damn field goals.
yeah, but I mean, again, you're and thank goodness they finally got somebody who could snap the ball to the placeholder. But you know, again, you're settling for field goals when you should have had touchdowns. The ironic part of the game, Louis, coming in, was the talk about you know, the turnovers.
Yeah.
That Louisville, I think they were number one in the country in forcing turnovers. Of course, that was because they had eight against Wake Forest.
Sure.
And basically, statistically, it was a pretty close game. Kentucky had 43 more yards passing than Louisville and 6 yards less rushing than Louisville. The whole key to the game, ironically, was Louisville turned the ball over three times, yes, and Kentucky didn't turn it over at all.
That's right. It was what you predicted, which was they pushed him around. Yeah. Kentucky was bigger, and they pushed him around, period.
And you know, I that was the only reason that I picked Kentucky on Friday was because it was the SEC versus the ACC. And as I watched more and more football on Saturday, I am convinced, Louis, that of the Power Five conferences, the ACC football is far and away the worst.
It is the worst. I agree.
Of the Power Five.
I agree.
I mean, it's I don't even think it's close.
Frankly, that's one of the disappointing things about Satterfield being in year four and not having a team that's even a little bit better than this, because they should have 10 wins based on how bad the ACC is. That's what's disappointing on that end, is if they had any kind of depth, if they had a quarterback worth his salt, whatever it might be, and I should even point at Malik, he's fine. But if they had more depth, if they had better players at different positions, I mean, this should be a 10 win season with who they play. I mean, it's really disappointing that way. I mean, 7-5 against this schedule, especially when you get, you know, when you get Florida State at home and that kind of thing. And you know, my other takeaway, Dan, and it's a big picture takeaway. This chasm is going to get bigger between the conferences. It just is. And Louisville needs to win the games now before it gets worse, but it's going to get worse. And I think we saw
it. And the reason it's going to get, the chasm is going to get bigger is primarily money.
Correct.
The revenue that the SEC is going to have and being able to upgrade their facilities, if they can upgrade them anymore from where they already are, and increase their recruiting budgets, the main reason is the SEC teams are just going to have a lot more money to spend than the ACC teams are.
And I'll tell you, we're already seeing the hierarchy happen. You know, we have an article on our show sheet from John Hale about having to hold on to players at Kentucky who might go to programs with more money than Kentucky. I mean, UK is already in AAA, and they're in the SEC. Right? Think about that.
Well,
they're having guys that are going to go up to the majors from where they are in the middle of the SEC. I mean, imagine being, you know, in an ACC spot or in a Pac-12 or whatever it might look like. And by the way, in a non-Los Angeles Pac-12, USC looked freaking dominant this weekend. So it is, you know, it's going to be rich get richer. And that's always been the nature of college sports. But it is going to be accentuated even more now.
And you know what's funny, Louis, is I was reading some of the recaps of the game, and they were saying, primarily the Herald Leader, were saying, well, 7-5 is a whole lot better than 6-6. And then they start listing excuses like Rodriguez was not available for the first four games. Am I missing something? Was Kentucky not 4-0 after the first four games?
They were 3-1.
Another excuse was they didn't have a playmaker like Wandell Robinson. I disagree with that too. I think these freshmen. I think Baron Brown is every bit the playmaker that Wandell Robinson was. It was just Levis's inability to get the ball to him.
And they have more guys. You're right, by the way. They were 4-0. They have more guys this year. They have more playmakers this year. Yeah, I agree that it is a combination of offensive line and Levis's ability to get the ball to them. I also think it's a lot of it is scheme. If you know you're not going to have that kind of that kind of time or whatever. I mean, you got to run quick passes. You got to, you know, quick outs, whatever. Just get the ball to your best players. It doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it. And I think Scangarello did not do a good job of that this year.
No. I mean, listen to some of these numbers. And I know statistics aren't everything. But there's something. They have something to do with it. Remember, there are 131 Division I football schools. Kentucky was 105th. In scoring offense, and 107th in total offense. They in the SEC games, Louis, they averaged 17.5 points.
Yeah.
In their SEC. I mean, that's inexcusable.
Yeah. All right, 3-5 in the conference, and you know, that's something we've talked about for a long time. And frankly, the real concerning part: Tennessee passes you this year, and they'll just pass you, like they're on a highway to somewhere. Did South Carolina pass them this year?
Absolutely they did.
That's the concern.
Absolutely they did. I mean, not only the Tennessee game, but they go in, and to me, you know, and we can talk about this later about some of the upsets over the weekend, you know, and I guess the biggest upset had to be in the Horseshoe, where Ohio State was favored by 8 and got beat by 22. But I think the most disappointing game of the weekend was Clemson losing at home.
Yeah.
Because Clemson, if they beat South Carolina and win the ACC championship game, which you know they're going to do, they were still in the talk. Mm. They were still in the hunt for a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And South Carolina goes in there and breaks up their 40 home game winning streak. I thought South Carolina beating Clemson was the most disappointing outcome of the weekend. And you're absolutely right. South Carolina's past Kentucky.
And you know, that's a rivalry where Clemson wins 65% of the games. I bet Beamer just got more money by winning that game. Like, they'll give him more money just based on that game. So it's pretty wild. Issel and Louie here with you, taking you up until noon. Drew Brown, Big Blue Drew, will be in with us in about 15 minutes. Do you think the top four has been set at this point, or are we still very much wait and see with the conference title games for TCU and USC?
I think the three of them are set, even if they lose. And Georgia isn't losing to LSU. What a debacle that was at Texas A&M for LSU. And certainly Purdue is not beating Michigan. I would say the two conference championships that are in question are TCU and Kansas State and Southern Cal and Utah. Although when you look at that offense Southern Cal has, oh my goodness. So I would say Michigan, Georgia, TCU, even if they lose, they're in.
Wow, okay.
And Southern Cal has to win to be in.
I agree with three of those, I think. I think Michigan just has to not lose. Like, don't go lose to Purdue. Like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, don't go lose that game. Purdue not even in the top 25. And so, you know, just don't lose that game. I think they're favored by 15.5, something like that. Just don't go. By the way, was anybody more right about Michigan this year than me?
No.
I'm sorry.
You were early on the number every time.
Early. And that was as so one thing they did, and I put on Twitter that I loved, was that they kept playing like they needed to score rather than going into a prevent, and it worked. Like, those long pass plays kept working. They had an advantage in that matchup, and they kept exploiting it. And I think as fans, we always go, oh, stop going to prevent. You have something rolling, and they just kept doing it. And I give them credit because it worked over and over and over again. Harbaugh, it is interesting because he seems refocused after taking a pay cut. Think about that. 2 years ago, he took a pay cut. Since then, he's something like 22-2.
And
remarkable.
They had some kids step up and have the game of their life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, J.J. McCarthy, where did that come from?
He was the better quarterback on Saturday. He was.
No question.
He was the better quarterback.
No question. No question. I mean, Stroud throws for more yardage. Stroud throws for almost 350, but he's got two picks. You know, you can't be a Heisman candidate and in a game of that magnitude throw two interceptions. No way. But McCarthy was the better quarterback, and you figure, well, with Corum not being able to play, you know, their running back situation might be devastated. Donovan Edwards rushes for over 200 yards. So they have two kids on their offense have the game of their life in the biggest game of their life.
Yeah. All right. So Issel and Louie here taking you up until noon. Big Blue Drew at 10:30. There was a lot of talk on the show before us, Dan, about Satterfield. And I think it's a fair time of year to talk about coaches and what they're going to do. We all know the long term with Stoops. That is a Mitch Barnhart special that is never going to change. We know what the long term is there. Satterfield has 2 years left on his contract. Drew Diener made the assertion this morning that you cannot leave a coach out there with a 2 years on his contract. You have to either extend or move on. Do you agree with that? Because I do not. I think that while I understand the idea of, okay, we think he's got it turned around at least a little. He's got a recruiting class coming in. Go ahead and give him an extra year or something, you know, work on whatever. Number one, I don't think anyone's coming to poach Scott Satterfield. Number two, I think that he's 0-for against his rival, and while the turnaround is very good, the offense didn't turn around, and he's the offensive guy. And on top of that, you still lost to Boston College, and you still looked like buttocks against Syracuse. Okay, so all those things are still true. I mean, his overall record here is 25-24, and they're talking extension. Dan, where are you on Satterfield? And my opinion, I would let him play next year and then figure it out. If you're wrong, by the way, and he wins 10 games next year, then you have to pay him. And by the way, that's just how it works now. That's just how this works. If guys win 10 games, they get paid. Someone joking on the text line, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line, that Beamer's going to get $9 million a year because that's the going rate. He's right. The texter is right. If Satterfield goes out and wins a bunch of games and you have to pay him a bunch of money, that's just how this works now. And so I would wait and see. I'm still wait and see. I said I was wait and see about the rivalry game. I'm wait and see on Satterfield next year. Where's Dan Issel?
Yeah, same place.
Okay.
Same place. You don't do either. You don't extend him, and you can't fire him. I mean,
I agree
with 25-24, but he's also 7-5 this year with and going to a bowl game. And so you don't fire him, but you don't extend him. I agree. Louis, I think, you know, this idea, and Kentucky falls into this idea of giving your coach a bunch of money because he might go someplace else, I think that's asinine. If you wait and see, I mean, ask the people with the Denver Broncos. You think they'd like to have that $250 million contract back on Russell? I mean, it's just, you know, don't pay people when you don't have to pay them.
Right.
And then if they're successful, then yes, then you pay them. But, you know, this idea that, you know, you have to extend guys and give them a bunch of money because they might go someplace else, you know, if you're 7-5, let them go someplace else, for crying out loud.
By the way, the same argument applies to Stoops. They didn't have to give him $9.5 million or what, $8.5 million. They didn't have to do that.
Exactly. And so, no, I'm 100%. You don't fire him, especially when this recruiting class he has coming in. I mean, he and his staff went out and worked hard to get those kids.
Yes.
They deserve to see, excuse me, if it works out. But I wouldn't do anything. He's got 2 years. You know, if he's successful next year, pay him, extend him. And if he isn't, then look for somebody else. But you don't have to do anything right now.
Yeah, especially like if you know, and Paul Rogers was on in the last hour, and he preached patience and said, you know, one of the things that can work out for programs is if you are willing to steady your ship while everyone else is chasing their tail, sometimes that works out in your favor long term. I don't disagree with that on a totality. I think that can be true. But I do think that 5 years is a good sample size as well.
Yes.
I think that's a very fair sample size. And frankly, I don't know that Scott Satterfield understands the rivalry game. I'm not sure that he understands.
I don't think he does. I mean, you can,
I agree
just
with you on
look
that.
And maybe that's just Scott. Maybe he's not a, you know, a rant and rave and you know, get in your face kind of guy. But it looked like to me, I mean, you could tell looking at Stoops on the sideline.
Oh, yes,
you could tell this game meant something to him.
No question.
I mean, I looking at Satterfield, you can't tell if he's in a rivalry game or if it's in the, you know, the spring scrimmage.
The same thing happened in Columbus. Ryan Day is a rich man's Scott Satterfield. He's very level-headed. He's an offensive guy. You know, that all that kind of stuff. He dyes his beard. You know that. Oh, Scott doesn't have a beard. It is in that game. I think you have to be different. I think when Satterfield got here, he assumed he could just do what he did at App State and win. Go ahead, just get guys that fit the scheme, whatever, and coach them into a spot where they're going to win. At the lower levels, that might be true, where if you are a better scheming team, you can win games in the Atlantic, whatever they were in, you know, the ASUN or whatever. Once you get to this level, though, you also have to have dudes. And they have not done a good job of getting dudes. I mean, period. And so I'm starting to wonder, though, with this recruiting class coming in, if in the same way that some of the light bulbs went on this year as they went on and the defense got better and blah, 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 that he hasn't figured that part out, too. So that would be, frankly, a really good sign if he's figured out that he has to go recruit at a higher level if he's figuring those things out. I think that's a wait and see. I think that's why you give him another year, because you give him another year and you don't change much of the parameters of the job. They also talked about in the offseason, we finally got a recruiting staff together. We're spending money on this. We're doing these sorts of things. I don't know. I think long term, you have to show a little bit of patience, like you said. Don't fire him, obviously. But no. At the same time, five years is a good sample size.
Yeah, because as you just said, I don't know who they would go after if they did fire Satterfield today. I mean, I don't know what coach you could get. I guess somebody. The recruiting class would catch somebody's attention, but you're probably going to, if to get a decent replacement, you're going to have to pay him more than Satterfield's making now. So no, just hang tight, see what happens next year. You're 7-5, you're going to a bowl game. Kentucky's 7-5 going to a bowl game. I think they jumped the gun, and Louisville doesn't have to.
Yeah. So, all right. So, we'll wrap it up here. Drew just walked in, so we'll get him in here. We'll wrap it up with this. Give me a letter grade now for both teams this season, Louisville and Kentucky, on their football seasons.
I would give Louisville a C.
Okay.
I would give Kentucky a D+.
Okay.
Because remember the expectations
yes.
coming in.
Yes.
I mean, there were people talking about Kentucky challenging Georgia for the SEC East. There were people that thought Kentucky would win 9, 10, 11 games this year. And so just solely because of the expectation. I mean, Louis, you said it earlier. They were 3-5
yes.
in the SEC.
Yep.
You know, the three worst teams in the SEC, the three bottom dwellers in the SEC, Vanderbilt, Auburn, and who am I missing? Florida?
Yes.
No.
Missouri? I don't know.
We're 2-6. We were one game, Kentucky was one game better in the SEC than Vanderbilt.
Texas A&M.
After the expectations,
yeah.
A D+ might be too high.
All right. Well, we'll go to break here. Avery, reminder of some of the things coming up here tonight alone. Jeff Walsh Show, 7-8 on 93.9 and on the app. Colts Steelers, the Colts Radio Network here on 680 105.7 and on the app at 7:30. Then Colts Steelers on national at 8 o'clock on 93.9 and on the app. As well, we'll go to break here. Reminder, the first hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Tourism, kentuckytourism.com. Check out all of those trails, all of the bourbon trails, all those other things going on, even if you want to head up to Turfway as they shift the horse racing season up to Florence. Check out all those things at kentuckytourism.com. Big Blue Drew on the other side here, 680 1057.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
All right, welcome back in. 10 o'clock hour here on Reaction Monday, Post-Governor's Cup Monday. here on Issel and Louie, 680-1057. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Big Blue Drew in studio, KentuckyTourism.com. Place we ask you to go check out. Plan your visit. The bourbon, the horses, the outdoors. Maybe that culinary experience that you've always wanted to have. Plan your visit, KentuckyTourism.com. All right, Drew, did you go to this one?
I did not. I think it was the first one in either 4 or 5 years that I got to enjoy from the comfort of my own home. So it was great. I
what is the whole setup for a guy like Drew Brown? Because I imagine you have an absurdly nice watching experience at your house.
You do know I have 4 kids, including infant babies. So I would lean towards it not being maybe the most relaxing environment. But I definitely used to be the like big basketball game. All my stuff's in the right spot. My jersey's hung up. But covering the games has kind of softened my palate a little bit for
wait,
that.
Wait,
but
wait.
I'm a big proponent if you do that.
Wait, jerseys hung up?
Well, like, you know, a T-shirt or something, maybe I would drape across the TV stand for a big game. I know I did that a lot in kind of my early 20s, so yeah, maybe I've matured.
I hate hearing that. All right, Drew Brown with us at BigBlueDrew33 on Twitter. Probably this week and next, and then back to the real world, yeah?
Yep, okay, probably got a couple weeks for me left. But huge show, man. This is a big one. I was thinking driving in, you know, Monday after the Governor's Cup, it's a big one. So kind of as we anticipate now, I think if anything – you know, Kentucky fans were probably a little disappointed that the score wasn't more lopsided. But the pessimism from one side and the optimism from another is just abound, to say the least. At least in that term of that game.
I think Dan and I want to know, build a statue, yes or no?
No, I'm not building any statues myself. Absolutely. I was leaning. I know you asked Dan the overall grade.
For the season.
I thought of that. So I was leaning optimistically C-, but that D-plus range is probably deserving.
I think you get into the C's when you beat your rival.
Okay, fair. That's what I like the game at the end of the season, too. I know that I've came in here on some dreadful Mondays when Kentucky's just, you know, totally played horrible. And I kept saying, you know, as long as you had those big games left, Tennessee, Georgia, and then obviously Louisville at the end. And I think the last 2 weeks, you know, you saw Kentucky play, you know, probably the best team in the country to 10 points and then beat your rival. So you're right. At least it ended on a more positive note. But still lots of concerns heading into next season.
And a lot of question marks going into next season, Drew. Let's start with the staff. What do you think, if anything, that Stoops does with his current staff?
I could really argue it so many ways, Dan. I think that obviously the offensive side of the ball is where there's going to be all the, you know, the eyes on and see what's going to happen this offseason. I think you could absolutely make the case, and I don't think anyone's going to be flipping tables or anything if Red Zone Rich is out after this season. So I won't be surprised at all to hear that news at some point. But at the same time, I mean, in this landscape of college football, I mean, Mark Stoops and his staff didn't just say we're going to need a quarterback, you know, after they beat Louisville. They've known this for months. So this is just me, you know, trying to use common sense and logic. I have to assume that Rich Gangarello was, you know, has been heavily involved in the preparation from next year, and that's going to center around number one, probably finding a quarterback, or maybe actually that might be a close 1A, because number one now in this wild west of college football is going to be retaining these current young weapons that you have. So it's good to see guys like Barrion Brown pledge his allegiance to the Big Blue Nation. So I don't know. I won't be surprised either way, but I would lean more towards let's make a change, because even in the win Saturday, it was just, you know, dreadful offense.
Drew Brown with us at Big Blue Drew 33 on Twitter. All right. So, I mean, what was more surprising to you, that, you know, that Ruffalo hit 4 field goals or or that, I mean, the red zone stuff is frustrating.
Yeah, well, first of all, to think about Kentucky's kicker winning the MVP is just like, it sounds like Saturday Night Live or something, and there's no way that that was going to be the case. So that's absolutely most surprising. I thought that was really cool. Nice redemption for him, too, after just – I think about that all the time on games that I cover on the field, just – after you miss those kicks, man, that's got to be the loneliest place. And, you know, he's really taken the brunt of it when it's been a multitude of special teams mistakes that have resulted in missed kicks and things. So really happy for him. And, again, I thought it was, if anything, you know, Kentucky fans were, I think, 2 out of 5 times they got in the end zone, in the red zone. Definitely left a lot of points on the board for him to get those field goals. But end of the day, you score double, you know, your rival, you got to leave and be happy.
Well, I don't know that I wasn't too happy. I don't know that anybody left there being too happy. Does Stoops get a special teams coordinator, or are we going to go down that road again?
I'll be really interested to see there. Again, the whole kind of theory around that is they still operate, you know, there's still kind of people in charge of it, similarly to would be with someone with that title. But I could say that I hope that he does. I think that, you know, when you're talking about an SEC football team, there needs to be a, you know, point of accountability there. So I would hope so, and I would think that those would be the two places obviously you're going to look. Offensive coordinator, are they going to make a change? What does that look like? Even skill position coaches on the offensive side? And then will they kind of name somebody in charge of that special teams? And if they were to do both of those things, that'd be a pretty paramount offseason change for sure.
Okay, Drew Brown with us. So do you really think Scangarello's out?
I won't say think that I do. I would lean towards, well, maybe both. Me lean towards that would be my preference, and maybe that's the direction it's going to go. But again, I do think a lot's going to be dependent on what they're thinking next year for quarterback, what they're looking at, what type of relationships that he has. I want to say there's like the backup at Michigan or something, maybe. I've heard whose name that.
Uigalele was 9-for-29 against South Carolina. He's available.
Yeah, I know that's not a very popular name, I think, around the Big Blue Nation, but I would lean towards that being my preference, at least. Let's get a guy from college that's proven he can, you know, execute and put some points on the board in the college game.
Yeah, I know it worked out with Levis. I'm not too excited about getting somebody's backup quarterback to come in here and run this show. But having said that, how much help does UK need out of the transfer portal? I know some of the freshmen on defense got pretty high grades against Louisville, but, you know, that was against Louisville, who has no offense. How much help does this team need out of the transfer portal, Drew?
Well, most notably, you're probably going to say the offensive line is where they're going to look, try to move some guys back to some natural positions. In hindsight now, looking back preseason, I wanted the guy from Vanderbilt, Tyler Steen maybe is his name, that Kentucky was really high on getting and, you know, adding a big piece of that offensive line, a proven player in the SEC. Ultimately, he goes to Alabama, and you kind of felt that all season with guys like Kenneth Horsey and stuff playing out of position. So that would probably be the first place that I would look and hope maybe that they would go get some veteran experience. And then, you know, it's really exciting this season getting skill position guys in on offense that we really thought were going to make an impact. And now that the season's over, I'm looking at their reception totals, and it's like, you know, you just expected so much more when you saw this offense kind of get rolling through the first three games. But Brad White's a mastermind, so he's just been so good at getting the most out of his talent. You saw guys like DeAndre Square get his 300th tackle, which was awesome. So offensively, I'd look for the line, and it's the Wild West now, so you got to retain who you got, and you really got to, you know, look to be poaching talent at spots of need.
Drew Brown with us. We haven't had you in since the extension was announced, and by announced I mean John Hale found it on a website for Mark Stoops. Your general reaction, mine is that it feels like two things. First, that Mitch Barnhart, grace, gratitude, let's start there, just sided with his guy and gave him a little bit more money than John Calipari, number one. Number two, it's a purely economic decision. People are still showing up to those games. And football at this point drives the economic bus of these programs.
Great place to start, because one thing you can say about the Kentucky football program this season is that the fans showed out.
They did.
I was really surprised even at the – I know there was a lot of Georgia fans there. That's just how it's going to be the number one team in the country plays anywhere
that
in
would
the
be
South.
Like, that would be like dogging Indiana for Ohio State fans showing up. So they're just going to show up.
But, I mean, it was like every game I got there, and I kind of like – you know, I won't be surprised if you see, you know that section may be a little empty today, and especially the students. I know the Louisville game's a little different with, you know, them going home for the holidays and stuff. But big props to the crowd. So you're right there. If one thing about Kentucky football you can say is that at least the fans in Kroger Field, they were engaged and they brought it. And I'm sure that trickles over when you're talking about contract extensions.
We played the get-in price game every time you've been in. And it stayed above $50 essentially the whole year. I mean, there's something very tangible about that. And I think it's ridiculous. I don't think they needed to do it, because he wasn't going anywhere. But I understand the economics of it from Mitch Barnhart's thought, which is it's just another $1 million. I can make that in a third of a home game.
Yeah, and it's an easy, safe move. I think at the time it's like, or maybe it still is, like the sixth highest paid coach, which sounds crazy and probably is, but these usually are very relative. You know, he makes more than Cal now. There's going to be a lot of contract negotiations, and they're always a little bit higher, or nowadays you feel like a lot higher than they should be. But just the culmination of this season, Louis, I'm interested to see how much is going to carry over, because I was also thinking coming in this morning, like, how many times have I got to come in here and, like, boast or, like, be excited about Kentucky football? And right. I really can only think of one, and it was after the Florida game.
Yes.
Just, you know, and after that. And every game there, can you think of one other game? I mean, I guess you could say the Louisville game.
You mentioned the fans, and I'll give them the credit. The kids who flipped over that car after Florida, totally right. It was the best win of the year.
But yeah, there's not one other game that I could have came in here and you know, just really spun it positively. I know Mississippi State, I guess they played really well then, but you're just coming off such a brutal loss that you couldn't do it. So a lot of apathy, I think, the farther along in the season you went. And that's going to carry over next year. The schedule's a little bit tougher. You don't have the 8 home games. So from a contract, analyzing it standpoint, I think next year, you know, will be the year, you know, that you really say, you know, how did that look?
Drew, there's several different bowl games, I guess, that Kentucky is in line to go to. Number one, what bowl game do you see them playing in? And number two, does Levis and Rodriguez play in a bowl game?
Great questions. I know that, our bowl projections are all over the place. I try to look into that a little bit this morning. I want to say Music City just because that's what I feel like Kentucky's deserving of. They deserve to go to the Music City Bowl this year. Let some fans that are close by go. I know there's tons of projections out. And it's such a shame, too, Dan, because it was really the Gator Bowl and things were right there. I mean, you talk about you play, you know, Notre Dame or something in the Gator Bowl. You win that game. I think you go into the offseason feeling really good. And you're not going to be, ashamed or, you know, maybe looking back as such a disappointment as we're going to be no matter which bowl they go to now. So, who knows? Could be like Liberty, Memphis, Music City Bowl, the Texas Bowl I've seen. But it just really stinks knowing that Mississippi State's, the South Carolinas are going to take a spot that you really feel like Kentucky should have had if they played their best. So I'll say the Music City Bowl again just because I feel like that's where they're deserving of. And then I say Levis doesn't play, C-Rod does, just total guesses.
I said earlier, and I agree with you, by the way, and then I would win a bet against Dan, which is even better. I think the concerning part about this season for Kentucky was you watch Tennessee not just move past them, but move onto a highway while you're still on a county road.
Yeah. They got a Ferrari this year.
That's right. Mm. The other thing is the concern has to be, did South Carolina pass you?
I think they did, because you talk about they got a kind of a polarizing guy, I guess you could say, a quarterback and head coach. But there's buzz about him. You know, you got Beamer, and then they had some really good, you know, wins after the season. And now looking back, talking about they whipped Kentucky, they really whipped them. You know, I think you can make excuses that Kentucky just didn't show up that game, and they didn't. But now I think that, South Carolina showed they're a really good, you know, better football team probably than Kentucky. So that is the biggest shame probably of all the season. Tennessee, absolutely. I mean, you talk about the SEC East now, and Kentucky is, you know, considerably below them on what you're expecting. But, you lose to Vanderbilt, barely beat Missouri. And, I think both of those teams at least have passed them.
Drew, you mentioned the Music City Bowl, and there's been some discussion that that'll be played at the exact same time as the Kentucky-Louisville basketball game. I really don't think – does it make any difference? I mean, if Levis doesn't play, I can't believe we'll be favored against anybody in the Music City Bowl.
Yeah, I know I was, the schools have a little tug and pull on, you know, where they want to go and lobby for, obviously, to say they don't want to do something. So I think it's kind of already leaked that Kentucky is okay with the Music City Bowl, if that's what it comes down to, and, you know, those times conflicting. But, yeah, again, it stinks because apathy's there. I mean, no matter where Kentucky's placed in one of these bowls, you weren't going to create the excitement of, like, a Gator Bowl versus Notre Dame or something, which you can really spin as, you know, let's get fired up for this thing. So, yep, I would say Music City Bowl, same time as that, and it won't be very exciting.
Minnesota.
I've seen Illinois, Minnesota.
little Golden Gopher.
Huh? I shouldn't say that. My dad took me to the music. I guess it would have been a Music City Bowl, and we saw Donovan McNabb play against Kentucky. It's a great memory for me, which is actually a really good tie-in to the Music City Bowl, which, as you know, a lot of people around here get to go. And, you know, I can be on here saying it's not fun and exciting, but there'll be thousands of Kentucky fans that would go and think that it is and have been to that one before. So let's just do it up. Let's go down there and honky-tonk in the Music City Bowl.
Big Blue Drew 33 on Twitter. Keep going.
Louie and I disagree completely on this idea. Where do you stand about kids not participating in bowl games because of their NFL futures?
Let's make it about Levis. If you were Will Levis's in his camp, what would you tell him to do?
Not play. I mean, I think if you have to, if you're weighing it from that side, I mean, you know, what good could really come from? You know, you go throw six touchdown passes. So if you're solely looking at it through the lenses of Will Levis's career, I think the advice that he's probably going to get is don't play. But we know he's a gamer. He kind of defines that SEC quarterback moxie, to say the least. I know he's going to want to play, which I'm sure is really impacting Dan's side of the argument. So wouldn't be blown away or something if he did, but I've definitely kind of settled in that he will not play.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point, Louie. What would his camp tell him? I'm more coming at it from what does he owe the University of Kentucky? Because if he doesn't play, Kentucky has no shot to win a bowl game. They might as well not even go. And so, you know, they took a chance on him coming out of Penn State, and he's had a great career at Kentucky. But doesn't he owe the university something for doing that?
If he was your grandson, Dan, would you tell him to play in that bowl game against Minnesota?
Absolutely, I would.
Okay.
I believe that. And I can definitively say that if Will Levis doesn't play, he probably isn't going to play kicking and screaming. I know he's going to want to suit up, and somebody might have to tie him down and say you're not playing, or really lay out the reasons why not, because I know he would absolutely – I mean, you remember him cracking his finger back in the socket and all that. He's not worried, I don't think, for any reason, but – just with where his draft stock sits, it would be hard for me to give him the advice to play.
Issel and Louie here. Crappy grandfather Dan Issel alongside Louie Rabeau hanging out with Drew Brown. Come on, Dan. Terrible advice. I'm kidding. Reminder to well, basketball, Bellarmine visiting Rupp Arena. We are your home for Bellarmine basketball here. Make sure that you tune in for that here on 680-1057 on Tuesday night.
And I'm sure Bellarmine's going to be well-rested for that game.
Yeah.
They're probably on a plane right now. I know.
Scotty.
It's insane.
I enjoy following their early schedule every season. Shout out to Scotty D. I'm excited. I'm covering the game. I don't know that I've ever covered a Bellarmine game. And,
there you go.
Hey, Kentucky better be ready to play, man. You know, he's going to have them ready to play. It might make it better that they're probably connected still. It's probably the days are running together. So, you know, I know they played pretty well in Pauley Pavilion. So, Kentucky basketball, I think, just as easily. I'm glad I missed last week because I was very disappointed in their effort up in Washington.
Before we completely jump to basketball, go ahead and just give us the positive Big Blue Drew final statement on this regular season for Kentucky football.
It sounds excusey, but it did have a lot of weird speed bumps. It really did. I don't feel like the season ever came together for Kentucky. Jaquez Jones, seeing him come back just really reminded me. Transfer from Ole Miss, that guy was everywhere on the field. He was a big, big piece of what that defense did. And even though I think you still another takeaway would be the defense, I think they were the stabilizer for this team. And looking at a few of those clunkers that they laid or stretches that they played poorly, they really did have a lot of injuries. We know Levis dealt with his stuff. It was a new offensive coordinator. The guys that you were relying on at a lot of these skill positions were freshmen. So I think all that you can look at and just say things were really weird. But overall, they just didn't get it done. And it's a shame. The schedule was set up for them to win well. So yeah, not happy overall.
Yeah, 7 wins when you got 8 home games like that is not okay. All right, I haven't shouted out your dad yet.
Do it.
Got to do that. Shout out to Drew's dad.
Mike.
Okay, there you go. That's our guy, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on it?
Bowman Field Boomer.
Thank you, the Bowman Field Boomer. All right, so uncomfortable question I'm asking both of you, and this will be the last thing we do in football. Would you rather have won the Vandy game and lost the U of L game, or lost the Vandy game and won the U of L game?
Oh, that's a really good one this year. No, you always go because, again, you finish that season, you're dominating your rival four in a row, just totally lopsided score. So, that's crazy that you would pick lose to Vandy. But, yes, I'd still say you beat Louisville as the one you pick.
How about for you, Dan?
Well, I think just the fact that you asked this question shows how pitiful Kentucky's football season
fair.
Was.
Statue.
Very fair.
But if I have to answer it, I would say I'd rather beat Louisville than lose to Vanderbilt than the other way around.
All right, Big Blue Drew with us. Let's do some basketball talk. Kentucky very good against bad teams and very
– crushing the bad teams.
Very either – you know, down to the wire or overwhelmed by good teams so far. What's your sort of general feeling about this team to this point? Do they figure it out? Is this just a repeat of last year? What do we have, Drew?
You know, I came into this season very optimistic, as myself and most Kentucky basketball fans always do. But, you know, after we lose that game against Michigan State and you start hearing cold hard facts, like I believe that was 5 of 6 lost in the Champions Classic, something like that, 4 of 5, 5 of 6. Unacceptable. It really is unacceptable. Got to start winning some of these games. Again, I was very disappointed with the effort in Washington. Another thing that's kind of scorned me after that was we're already in the state of Washington, but due to politics, we're not playing in the PK tournament. So there's just a lot of things about Kentucky basketball kind of rubbing me the wrong way at the moment. And unfortunately, just with last season kind of playing, you know, poorly on stretches this year, it's going to take a little bit, I think, before people really buy in and are just like, you know, this team is Final Four bound or whatever. But bottom line is, you got to start winning some of these games. So I know they got UCLA in the Garden, stuff like that. But beating good bad teams is no longer, you know, you got to win some of these big ones.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And I would say the other thing is this SEC schedule is going to be a bear. I mean, we know how good Auburn is. We know how good Arkansas is. And then Alabama beats the number one team in the country in double overtime yesterday. The SEC is going to be no cakewalk, that's for sure.
I'm really high on Tennessee. I've gotten to see that core group play a ton, and whew, those guards are really difficult to defend on the perimeter. Obviously, it was Kentucky's Achilles heel last year with guys like Kellen Grady who just couldn't keep up. In theory, they would have a lot better perimeter defense this year with, you know, guys like Cason Wallace and things that should help, but you're absolutely right. And they're not scared of Kentucky anymore, Dan. Almost all the teams you've named have had success against Kentucky, you know, in this upward trajectory of the SEC. So, again, I think that this is a big season for Kentucky. I think postseason, they should win the SEC. Doing things like that is Kentucky basketball, and we can't get away from that and make excuses year after year. Like, Kentucky needs to win the SEC, ideally win the tournament, whether Cal likes it or not. And then, obviously, you know, you can't bounce out of the tournament quickly. So, very important season, I think, for, you know, kind of going back to the same discussion with football.
More likely that Cason Wallace develops into the player that Kentucky needs, or that he's Ty Washington 2.0.
I definitely think it's the opposite of Ty 2.0, which makes me feel good. Cason, he has that intangible freshman quality that you want, which is he's just a dog. He's relentless. He's going to, you know, be tough as nails each game, which I think can help overcome a lot of the other freshman stuff. You know, we've seen some times where pressure in situations when he was running point maybe got to him a little bit. Still, I'm sure, learning scheme, plays. He missed some big free throws against Michigan State. But no, I'm not worried about him at all. You've seen the minutes he's played. I think that Cal's going to ride him to play. He might play the most minutes on team. He's going to play a ton this year, and I expect him to be lottery pick. He's really good.
Drew, how much longer can Cal use the excuse we haven't practiced together?
Well, with me, Dan, he ran out of that time. So I would say I'm usually giving him a longer leash than most. And I am. Oscar doesn't know the plays. Get out of here. I mean, the guy's been around the program for, you know, going on 3 years or, you know, more than two. So It's frustrating, all that stuff, when you hear stats like that, that you've lost, you know, all those games in the Champions Classic and things like that, when you're there because you're a blue blood. This thing's supposed to be back and forth. Hey, you lose to Kansas, we get it, but next year you come back, you beat Duke or whatever. And as somebody that's covered, I think, three of the last four of those, you know, they beat Michigan State with Tyrese Maxey kind of saving the day. But and then particularly down the stretch, the late collapses is not helping, you know, Calipari's you know, stance with fans and stuff.
Where are people now? Obviously, the statue talk and the football school talk and all that has subsided. We don't hear it hardly ever anymore. Are people buying into this team, or are those two losses just so, I mean, just unsettling?
Well, again,
I think that's,
you know,
the word, unsettling.
I say this every time. Just shout out to the Big Blue Nation and Kentucky fans for somehow finding a way to, like, you know, pit ourselves against each other at every point of success and failure now. So this is great. I'm hoping at some point it just dissipates and we don't do this. But obviously after the Vandy loss, I think, you know, anybody that wanted to point that finger was quick to do so in saying, you know, basketball school, which obviously Kentucky's, a basketball school. But again, you know, it's Kentucky fans and non-Kentucky fans, it's like the proof's in the pudding, and Cal, I think, really is going to have to, you know, do some things that on paper look good this year.
I think probably the biggest criticism I've heard of Cal, and Cal's not going anywhere until Cal decides he's going someplace, so you can forget about that, but is it a legitimate argument, Drew, that when he faces some of the elite college coaches like Tom Izzo and Mark Few, he just gets outcoached?
Yeah, I don't want to say he gets outcoached by design, but I think that his kind of mantra and the way that he's always coached is Kentucky focuses on Kentucky. And what I mean by that is I don't think that they're learning a lot of other teams' inbound plays. Like you saw against Michigan State, just brutal end of the game mishaps on defense, as where I'm sure, Dan, and, you know, teams that you've played for, other people, there's a lot of, you know, scouting of the other team and things that they're going to run. And in John Calipari's defense early on at Kentucky, he had guys that would rise to the occasion, and more times than not, step up in a big moment and win a game for Kentucky. And when that hasn't happened, you know, the failure for him to put people in that position has just been so evident. And Michigan State's probably the best example. I mean, how Kentucky ends up losing that game by 10 points, you know, I'll never know. And again, I know some late free throws were missed and things like that. But yeah, ball screens, you got to get some more action moving. I mean, I've watched that same kind of circle set so many times that when you're winning games, it's whatever. But when you're not, I do think there's some validity in that point, Dan.
Texter texting in 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line. UK's record against ranked teams the last 5 years, 19-49.
Oh, I saw their record against like Power Five competitions, like it was like 43-43 or something. So yeah, when you see that like culmination, like even me as a, you know, and I still think he's the right guy for the job. He should be here. Things will be fine. But yeah, it's disappointing to say the least.
Well, I'm out of questions. I just think we have to, obviously tomorrow night against Bellarmine. I mean, those kids just made a two-game swing to the West Coast. They've got to be exhausted. So this will be another 30 or 40 point game, and you know, I'm with you, Drew. We've got to start beating some of these better teams to get excited about Kentucky's prospects this year.
Yep, and the kind of sad thing about it is, again, looking at last season, these disappointing early games that you really had the opportunity to get that, reinvigorate the fan base, you drop both of them in disappointing fashion. So yeah, it's going to take like you know thumping somebody decent, which you got like UCLA left, and things of that nature. So going to be tough. But I know exciting stuff, guys. Kentucky High School girls and boys basketball, I believe, starts tonight. It's probably already started. But for me, it starts tonight. So I can at least turn the page to that.
Oof, that was a crashing thud to the end of that segment. His name is Big Blue Drew. Big Blue Drew 33, Drew Brown on Twitter. One more visit with him next week, and then we'll kick him out for good. Drew, we appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always. Fun stuff.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, reminder, too, that the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show will be tomorrow around 9:15. James Strebel, Jason Entz. Entz is in England, so he won't be here. James Strebel will talk about Bellarmine, where he went to school for a little bit.
Entz in England is so Entz.
Yeah, we get it, Entz. Yeah, we get it. Yeah.
Right.
All that's on 681.
We should call him England Entz.
And on the app. On the other side, it's Monday's Moron here at 681.57.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.